Let's open our Bibles for the sake of time today. Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 8, if you would. And let's look at verse 14. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Familiar scripture. For as many, that's me. Say that's me.
That's me.
Ah, yes, sir. I'm one of those called and as many. As are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hallelujah. This is in the New Century Version. I like this. This says the true children of God, we are that, we're the true children of God, are those who let God's Spirit lead them. You've got to let Him lead you. But most importantly, see, when you let somebody lead you, that means you respect them, don't you? You give place to them, you honor Him. He's not an it, He's a Him. So, You recognize His presence, you honor Him, the Spirit of God in you, and you let Him lead you. So you've got to be, first of all, to honor, so you got to be aware of their presence. You got to know He's in you. And you've got to let Him lead you. We could say this. What did the scripture say? For as many as are led by who? Okay, so that means you're not led by your head. You're not head-led. You're not led by your intellect. You're not led that. You know, like somebody on TV, they said a meathead. I'm not a meathead. Say, I'm not a meathead. I'm spirit-led. See, a meathead, that just means you're dumb. Now, you may not realize it, but, you know, we're dumb when we don't follow God. You know what I mean by that? We just think, and a lot of us, me included, sometimes we think we know. We've got it all figured out. We know. We got to answer. In other words, how many long enough anybody here saw Brother Hagin when he was alive minister? Anybody here? Some of you were. He said, the Spirit of God led him to do something, and he said, He's never led me to ever do that again. Ever. And so, we can't even be led by our experiences by the Spirit of God. Well, He led me that way. That must be the way I should go. You're gonna miss it. You're gonna miss it. You need to be led by Him and not even your experience of being led by Him. See, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say led by the experiences we've had. It says you're led by Him. Now, in order to be led by Him, that means you need to commune with Him. You need to fellowship with Him and you need to spend time with Him. You can't be led in absentia. That means you can't be absent. That takes time. It takes fellowship with Him. So, and I was sharing this before, you will never have enough information about anything to know what to do in every situation. You won't know. You won't know enough. Think about it. You have within you someone who knows everything about everything. He knows everything about baking. He knows everything about how to fix your car. He knows everything about everything. He knows everything about how to be a good parent. He knows everything about how to be a good wife or husband. He knows how to help you be the best worker on your job. And he also helps us be the best worshiper. You know what I mean? We sit there and think we know how to do it, and he'll say, move this way. Raise your hand, shout, scream. He helps us. He helps us in everything. Because think about it. He knows the heart of God. And he knows what touches the heart of God. He'll help us worship. Isn't that true? So he knows everything about everything. And I would say he is, what does John 14 say? John 14, 16. I'll read it to you. It says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. This was Jesus speaking. So Jesus, another means the same as, just the same as. Who was he? He was their comforter. So he was their comforter. He was their advocate. He was their helper. And now he said, it's expedient that I go away. I'm going to send you another comforter. And I like what the Amplified, it amplifies it. He says, the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener. Oh, he's our strengthener. He's our standby. And so we need to go to who? The Holy Spirit. We don't pray to him, but we can serve. If he's my helper, if he's my advocate, then I should be able to go to him and say, what do I need to do here? How shall I do this? And we need to go to him more often. We need to look to him to help us in every affair of life. Now, look at verse 16. We're in Romans 8:14. Let's look at 16. It says, the Spirit itself, well, let me say this. Just think about this. That was a choice of words by the translators. You can look up that word itself, and it actually means, the word itself is used in 1 Peter 2:24. Same Greek word, autos, A-U-T-O-S. Or if you like cars, autos. You know, that jumped right off. Yeah, autos. But that same word is used in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bear our sins in his own body. Same word. But the translators chose to use itself. You can't fellowship with an it. An it doesn't have a personality. An it doesn't have feelings and emotions. So we fellowship with him. And so here, and most of the modern translations say himself, the Spirit itself, or we say himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And there are a number of translations, and I'll tell you, I like this. The beareth witness implies, and actually the correct way is it actually means to bear joint witness, to bear witness with. Bear witness with what? My spirit. So the Spirit, as this says, himself beareth witness with who? Our spirit. We are a spirit being. 1 Thessalonians says that. We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. We are made. I always ask this question. We're made in the image and likeness of God. Now, I'm not trying to draw a relationship that God is like us, but he made us like him. We have a spirit. We have a soul, emotions, a will, and we live in a body. Let me ask this question. Does God have feelings? Not feelings like a human being, but emotions. Some of you hesitate. He sure does. If you don't think he doesn't, get on his wrong side. And you'll find out whether or not God gets angry, whether he sings and is joyous. God, if we have emotions and we're made in his image and likeness, so does he. Not like us from a human standpoint, but he can be grieved. He can be vexed. He can be, jealous, absolutely. He can be quenched. And so we need to be sensitive to his moves. Because when he moves, what are we supposed to do? Respond. So when he's wooing us in a direction and we don't move, he can be upset. Can't he? Sure can. And how do we know that? In your conscience, in your spirit. And so, let me read this from this is the J.B. Phillips translation. It says, the Spirit himself endorses our inward conviction. So you have when you talk about a witness, there's a witnessing with. He bears witness with our spirit. There's a co-witness. So a lot of times when we say, I sense this, it's the Spirit of God in you witnessing with your spirit. There's a co-witness. There's another person in there. This is the easy-to-read version. It says, the Spirit himself speaks to our spirits and makes us sure. So there's a witness of the Holy Spirit in our spirit, to our spirit, of what he wants to reveal. So when the Spirit of God, and this is key, every one of us, every single one of us should live by this day by day, moment by moment. We always don't, but we're learning to. We're learning to be sensitive. Let me ask this question. If the person in you who knows everything about everything, that means we should never be a failure in anything. Ever. And folks say, really? You have living in you an omnipresent, omniscient, all-knowing God. His Spirit lives in you who knows everything. That means when it comes to money, you should never, ever lose money. Ever. That means you should always be in the right place at the right time to get the best bargains, get the best house, get the best car, get the best. Because why? He knows. If we'll follow. That means we should have the best marriages. And I'm going to say this. When the Spirit of God is free to move, in a household. See, we come here to church, we shout, we praise the Lord, we kick up the dust, so to speak. And sometimes it stops here when we go home. And what happens? We get over in the natural, and we get over into natural thinking on how we should run things and do things. Our homes should be a reflection of heaven at home, where the Spirit of God and the gifts of the Spirit are free to move in that home. So when he's pulling on you, husbands, to go in a direction, you don't go, I ain't doing that. She said, no. And you're stiff-necked and you don't yield to the Spirit of peace. And that can be husbands or wives. I ain't doing that. See, and when we have homes where the peace of God and the Spirit of God is free to move, not only are the husband and wife flowing in that, so are the children. Because there's no strife in the home. There's what? The love of God. And where the love of God is, faith is able to operate. The Spirit of God is able to move. I mean, we don't hear it a lot, but Pastor Jesse will talk about how Pearson, sometimes we just see him when we go out to eat. Pearson's over there beating his sticks. He's playing air drums, and he's singing these worship songs. They tell us privately, he just wake up in the morning singing, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. And he's singing. He's singing. It's in his spirit. And they don't quench the spirit. Oh, shush. Don't be quiet. Don't sing that. They let the Spirit of God move. They don't quench the spirit. What am I saying? The fellowship and the communion that we have is not just here. It's at home. It's on our jobs. It's in our life. It is our life because he lives in us. And sometimes we may go this way. We think, but that's so different. I've never done that before. Let me ask this question. The Spirit himself beareth witness with your spirit. It may be different. What did Brother Hagin say? He had me do something strange and never did it again. Jesus took spittle, mixed up some dirt, and rubbed it on the eyes of the blind person. Probably strange, right? Unorthodox. But did the man walk away healed? Yes. And so there are things that he may call us to do. Does it, your head may be going, this is crazy. But what does your heart say? What is the Spirit of God witnessing to your heart? Is there peace about it? See, we're going to have to learn. We keep hearing miracles, signs, and wonders. I'm going to say this. What happened during the Old Testament time when there were signs and wonders, but devilish signs and wonders? And today, people are looking for not just, I won't say, I'm going to take it this the wrong way. They're not just looking for the Word of God. They're looking for an experience with God. And what is that going to, what does that mean? There's going to be demonstrations of the Spirit of God in our midst. Yes, it won't be contrary to the Word of God. But things and the demonstrations may be different than they were in years past. We have to follow the Spirit of God. Is your spirit at ease with it? Is it right? Does it sense right? Amen. God is moving. Let's turn, read this scripture. You're in Romans 8. Look at verse 9, chapter 9, verse 1. says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience, or you could say your spirit, it's the voice of your spirit, your conscience, also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. The Weymouth translation says, my conscience enlightened as it is by the Holy Spirit adds its testimony to mine. The Amplified says, my conscience enlightened and prompted by the Holy Spirit. Now, what did the Spirit, what did the Scripture say? The Spirit of God assures us or enlightens us that we are, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God, and he bears witness with our spirit. Too often, let me ask it this way. Bearing witness with your spirit that you are a child of God, did you hear a voice? Most of you. Did you hear a voice that you were a child of God? What was it? You knew. You knew there was something different. You knew you were God's child. One day you were in darkness, the next day you knew, I'm changed. There's something different. I can't do this anymore. I can't hang here. You knew. You didn't hear a voice. He bore witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. So we need to be careful that we're always hearing voices. Yes, he does speak to us. But the primary way that he leads us is by the inward witness. See, yes, when the gifts of the Spirit, when he's manifested and the Spirit of God is moving, he moves as he wills, and there's the word of knowledge, there's the word of wisdom, there's healing, gifts of healing. The Spirit of God will move and he will speak. But most times, even in that setting, enlightenment comes. Go over here. Lay hands on this person. Enlightenment comes. You just know what to do. Yeah. I mean, he speaks to me when I'm waking up in the morning or I'm going about. Yes, he does. But primarily, there's just a knowing, do this. Go over here. A thought comes. Let me ask a question. When a thought comes, is that a voice? When a thought comes, is that a voice? Boy, some of you need to go back. Let me say it again. When a thought comes, is that a voice? Yes? That's a voice? If a thought comes to your mind, is that a voice speaking to you? It's a thought. Let me ask this question. You're reading the Bible and you go, wow, I never saw that before. Revelation comes. Did he speak to you? No. There was just a knowing. You saw insight. You saw revelation. He bears witness. He reveals and unfolds what you need to do. That's the primary way that he leads us. Not the only way, but the primary way. Don't look for voices to speak, because the devil will accommodate you. You need to be led by your spirit, your heart. The seat of you is where you need to be led. I hope, I tell you, this for me is probably one of the most important things for me in my daily walk. Knowing what to do, knowing where to go, knowing what to invest in, knowing what to do in the ministry. Yes, we're going to make mistakes. So are you. But I'm going to tell you, this is a good guide right here. If you spend, and I'm going to say it this way, if you spend time praying in the Spirit of God and in the Word of God, this will be a good guide. The more we pray in the Spirit, the more sensitive your spirit will be to spiritual things. Because it will become it'll be stirred when we pray in the Spirit. As we worship and pray in the Spirit, your spirit man will be enlightened, and not enlightened, what's the word? Stirred. And you're going to become more aware of his presence. He's always there, but you'll be more aware of it, of him. And so, as we pray in the Spirit more, as we spend time in his presence, you become more aware of him, and this, your spirit, becomes a good guide. You walk in, I'm telling you, even as of late, I'm thinking just recently, we need to do some upgrades here. We need to do some upgrades concerning the band and the music side and so forth. We have a sound system here that's 23 years old, 24 years old. And let me tell you, he's got his dogs and his tongue wagging. It's doing the best it can with the condition that it's in. It needs upgrades. And 2 years ago, I saw this particular company down here. I just said, yeah, this is the company. And I began to interact with them, and the more I did, but I had a hesitation. I bore witness, but I just said, let's hold. And the owner came through this summer. We chatted. I told him I didn't want to spend a lot of money. We're not staying here. And because to do this with the things that are out there, the equipment, we need to upgrade a lot. Our lighting is old. This lighting up here in this ring is from 1985. It's old technology. It's outdated. It's inefficient. It needs to be stripped and gutted. So does the sound system. So does the video camera. All of that, and this grid and all of this would need to come down. All of this. Go away. Because it doesn't work acoustically in here. You do all of that, you're looking at about six figures. You're looking at $1 million. And I just said, not comfortable. We're not staying here. The word of the Lord has been from 1992 when Dr. Price was here. You're not staying in this building. And we're closer to moving than we were in 92. I'm sorry, it was 1990. So I wasn't comfortable. I told him, nah, I don't want to spend a lot of money. So I was hesitance. So he came through and I said, okay, I'm willing to spend this. Okay, we can do this. I still sat on it and I thought, okay. And it was a hesitancy. Well, I got an email recently. The company split. And the two owners went different directions and now it's all in flux. And I'm like, okay. I need to pray about who now. See, so sometimes it's not that you don't have a need, but you better follow the hesitancies See, because we could have been right in the middle of doing something, then they go, boop, and you're like, oh, okay, what do we do now? See, you follow him, you stay out of stuff. You don't get in the middle of stuff, and you don't lose money. You don't make it, seemingly, you don't make bad choices. It's not because you're so smart. We're not smart enough to know a year, 2 years down the road, what the condition of a company will be. It's the same thing when we enter into any relationship. You could enter into a marriage. You may go into it. You don't know what that covenant, what the destiny God has intended for that covenant. See, some folks are saying, well, I ain't find the right person. Well, did you ask him? Maybe the right person is what you're not supposed to be looking for. Maybe you should go to God and he'll show you what the right person is. See, sometimes we're worldly minded about what we want. And yet he has a destiny for a marriage relationship. And you don't know that. You're just looking in the now. See, I'm talking here. Because we've all made mistakes about what we thought we wanted. So did I. And it didn't turn out too good. See, because you think you know. You're led by your feelings, you're led by your emotions, and you get in the middle of something. Now, yes, God can try to correct some things if we're willing, but it may not be his best choice for you. See? So God can work in the midst of things. He does. But we need to be led. Want to just spend a minute here. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5. See, the Spirit of God says things in a lot of different ways, but he's saying the same thing. Have you heard Pastor Judy say, tap, 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 tap? Anybody hear her say that recently? Tap into his power. Tap into his glory. Tap into his ability. Well, that sounds to me like you're going to him as a what? A helper. See, the Spirit of God will bring enlightenment through various vessels, through her, through me, through Pastor Greg. We may say it differently, but we're saying what the heart of God is. We need to have more fellowship, more time, and tap into his counsel, his ability, his power. We have the power of God in us. We have the Spirit of Christ in us, living in us. We have his ability, his glory, his power in us. Greater is he, not it. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Greater is he. Tap, tap into his ability. He's no less able now in us than he was when he walked this earth. You ever think about that? All of his power, all of his ability is residing in us by his Spirit. We just need to tap, tap into. Did you get to 1 Thessalonians? Okay, keep your finger there. And turn just for a second to Hebrews 13. We're going to go to 1 Thessalonians, but I want you to look at this. This is a familiar scripture, but it was something that jumped out at me here. Hebrews 13 and 5. I want to read this from the Amplified Bible, 5 and 6. We're familiar with the latter half of this. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say the Lord is my helper. But I like the way the Amplified says this in verse 5. It says, let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and the craving for earthly possessions. And be satisfied with your present circumstances, with what you have, for he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. Oh, man. I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. And I like this. It says, I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. He has not left us helpless. He has sent another helper to do what? Help you. So you don't have to try to figure it out. He has sent a helper to help. Help us in every area of our life. He said, I will not, I most assuredly will not leave you helpless. Hallelujah. I tell you, that's a comforting thought. We don't have to be helpless in this earth. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. I like this. How many were here Sunday? How many were here Friday night? Some of you were here Friday night. The word that went forth was the Spirit's fire. Did we not hear that? The fire of the Holy Spirit. When we read this, sometimes we read over Old English and we see quench not the Spirit. Okay, you know, quench can mean to suppress or stifle something, to extinguish something. We got that. But listen to some of more of the other translations. This is the New International Version. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. The Phillips translation, never damp the fire of the Spirit. Never dampen it. Do not extinguish the Berkeley. Do not extinguish the Spirit's fire. When he's burning in your soul, that's not the time to extinguish it. Extinguish him. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4. Let's look at a few more scriptures. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieve can mean sadness, sorrowful, make uneasy. Is it possible to make a person uneasy or offend? Yes, absolutely. This is the God's Word translation. Don't give God's Holy Spirit any reason to be upset with you. Don't give him a reason to be upset. What would be a reason? not walking in love towards somebody, not walking in faith, not following his instructions, you could upset him. He's a person. He could be upset with how we respond, what we do in response to some directions from him. The Good News Translation says, "Do not make God's Holy Spirit sad." See? And I like the Young's Literal Translation, which is more of a, when I say accurate, it's a more accurate rendering. It said, "Make not sorrowful the Holy Spirit of God." He can be sorrow. He can have sorrow with something because of how we operate it. Let's go to Isaiah 63. The Spirit of God is directing and moving our affairs. Look at verse 7, Isaiah 63 and verse 7. We're familiar with this scripture. Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But I want you to look at this in Isaiah. This is talking about the kindness of God and the loving kindness. He's talking about his, I'll say, feelings or how he feels about Israel. Look at verse 7. "I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord. According to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness towards the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said," this is the Lord here, "he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie." Wow. Listen to that. Now listen to this. "So he was their Savior." Look at verse 9. "In all their afflictions, he was afflicted." He was touched by their afflictions. "And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity redeemed them. He bare them and carried them all the days of old. But look, verse 10, what? They rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit." Wow. So the loving kindness, the mercy of God. And they rebelled against his what? His direction, and vexed the Holy Spirit of God. That word vexed just means to displease, to grieve, and it can mean to cause pain. He was bothered by it. He was vexed by their action. And so as we're moving forward, and as God gives us directions personally and as a ministry, however that comes, we need to, because of what? He saved us. His loving kindness, his mercies. He's protected us. How many of us here have been protected from harm? Man, I tell you, there's some situations I should be a vapor, smoke, dead. He's protected me. He's put on the hearts of people I know. When I went through a situation, this young lady came up to me 3 or 4 years after the event and said, "You know, I never shared this, but God woke me up in the middle of the night and said, pray right now. If you don't, he'll die." And I said, "I'm serious." I said, "When was that date?" And she gave me the date. And I said, "Ooh, I was at home and I was about ready to call 911. I felt like I was slipping out of my body. I felt like I was dying. And I didn't. I just held steady. I said, nah, I'm just going to stay here and pray in the Holy Ghost. And I didn't call 911. So I can tell you, every one of us, not just me, every one of us can name situations with the loving kindness and mercy of God has intervened, we owe him our life. So when he nudges and come over here, do this, and you go, I want to do that. Remember the loving kindness and mercy of God and obey. We're the only thing down here he can work with. In all of our imperfections and all of our missingness things, we're it. Yield to him. Yield to his wooings. He's trying to reach people. He may want to have you say something to a person in a line. And I'm not talking about going around, you know, with a bullhorn and preaching to people and getting, you know, like, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about minding your own business, standing there, and the Holy Spirit, the thought comes, do this. Do it. God, people in this earth are hurting. They've been misinformed about who God is. And because of all the craziness, they don't see the love of God even in the church. And so when God wants to break into somebody's life, we're it. And we need to yield to his wooings so that we don't displease him. And God is about ready. He's moving even in our hearts to begin to reach out into the community here. I'll tell you, you know, when you hear things, I know, you know, you interact with enough business people. I know Pastor Jesse has, some others have. You go into establishments, they say, where do you go to the, oh, that church. Oh, you go to that church. Ah, okay. What does that mean? That means their perception is not right. And the perception, we're made up of this church. We are the body of Christ. And one way to change perceptions is that you start going out, instead of preaching at people, you walk up to them and say, is there anybody here who needs prayer? Is there anybody, can I pray with you about something? Can I help you? And you start praying and let the gifts of the Spirit start operating through you out where the people live, and let God start speaking to you and ministering to the people through you. And I guarantee you the perception will change, and their idea of God, they'll have touched God through you. And so God is beginning to move, and he's stirring us and saying, get out into the community. Start touching the people with this ability that's in you, with this glory, with this life that's in you, with signs and wonders to touch this earth. Yes, we teach the Word of God, but we've been taught and taught and taught. You know, if you don't act on what you've been taught, it withers away. So God is moving on the hearts of us now. We need to start being led by Him to start touching the lives of people with this glory, with this power that's in us. Because the devil is not sitting idle either. He's coming up with signs and wonders of his own, and people are looking for power. And the devil will accommodate him with things. But there's no love in it. And so we're looking to reach out and to touch this earth with the power of God that's in us. And that is going to take the Spirit of God and the love of God and the faith of God all operating to help people. Does that ring a note with everyone? Because the days, his return is so close that he's trying to reach people. The hurting, the dying, the sick, the lost, to come to know this God that's loving and kind and merciful. And we're it. We're it. Full of the power of God, full of the Holy Ghost, full of his love, his joy, his peace. And let that flow out of you and touch people. You ever think about this? We'll close with this. You go to a restaurant and you eat some good food. Are you quiet about it? You have a great experience. Are you quiet about it? None of us are. Man, I went over here, it was down. As people say, I hurt myself over there eating. But let me ask this question. When someone is touched by the living God and helped by the living God, you can't keep them quiet. You can't keep them quiet. They're going to tell my need was met over here. My body was healed. Left. I had no hope. That's what this earth is groaning for, the manifestation of the sons of God. And that's where we are right now. But it's the power of the Holy Ghost. It's his direction. We can't grieve him. We don't want to quench him. We don't want to vex him. We want to flow with him and not dampen the fire of God in us. Hallelujah. Let me say this. The season that we're in, it's more than just coming to church. It's so much more than that. It's about touching the people of this earth with the power of God and the love of God and the faith of God. Go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. Lay hands on the sick. Cast out devils. That's what he's looking for, the Great Commission. Help people with the helper in you. He didn't leave us comfortless. He put in us a comforter, an advocate, a helper, so we can do what? Help people. Hallelujah. All right, let's unhook and we'll have communion and go home. Amen. Father God, we thank you. Stir our hearts and our minds to be ever ready. And as you say, we are not to draw back from your promptings and your leadings. For you have no pleasure in that. Father, let us please you by following your directions and your moves. If it's just praising you, we'll stay here and praise you. If it's quiet, we'll be here and be quiet. If it's shout, we'll shout. Hallelujah. Withholding nothing from you, Lord. You gave everything. Father, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. Thank you, Father, that darkness is broken over this area. And we thank you that people are waking up into a brand new day in this area. Things that were clouding and hidden. The light is shining in this area. Thank you, Lord. The fire of God is burning. And darkness is being pushed back in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.